child's voice has not changed. If I hear him on Channel 5 or whatever, to recognize his voice right off.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And such a nice guy. We bought the Chickasola home when we moved up here.
Oh.
Next to the
Jackson Gate.
And Jackson Gate.
Yeah.
No, that's that's where Mark lived for a while.
No, he lived in the home Spinetti's had.
Oh, okay.
Right up the road, though.
Yeah,
close.
Yeah, they're right there, close.
Yeah, the house right next to the Chickasola store. It's kind of set back, that big Victorian.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bed. We had it as a bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, your first name again.
Eileen.
It is 11 a.m. on Thursday, May 16th. On this tape, you will hear stories of William Gebhardt and occasionally, possibly Eileen, his wife. You'll also hear my voice, Keith Sweet, the interviewer. We are taping this at the family home in Ione. Thank you for participating in the Amador County Living History Project. We appreciate your willingness to preserve our county's history by sharing memories. This conversation is being tape recorded, and tapes will be made available to the public without charge. If you share something during the next hour or so that you regret saying on tape, we will make every effort to remove it before publication. Okay. Why don't we start with some of your family history, Bill? Obviously, it's 2013, there's been a number of generations of Gebhardts that have been in California. So take us back to possibly when your first relative arrived.
Well, give me that and I'll read it.
Okay.
Or you can read it. You can probably just see this article here was written by L.P. Gebhardt, my great uncle. And it's written in a book that in the forefront of a book that I was given to him because they thought I'd be interested in it. Anyway, it's August Gebhardt, born 27 July 1818 in Schopenheimer, Baden-Baden, Germany. Came to U.S. in 1846. Enlisted in Colonel Meriwether Clark's Battalion of Light Artillery as a chief bugler on staff, veteran of Mexican War. Came to California across the plains in 1850. Settled in McCallamy Hill. Father of Theodore, Emma, Ida, Gertie, and George, all born in California. And then on the next slide page is Jasper Harlan Bonham. Born in St. Clair County, Illinois, December 15, 1832. Crossed the plains with an ox team in 1850 when 18 years old. Landed in California. Settled in Amador County, now known as Mount Echo School District. Died on the same farm, November 30th, 1906. Occupation: manufacturing lime for 54 years. Father of Des, Minerva, Jenny, Andrew, and Caleb. Um, They were both my great-great-grandfather.
So, your great-great-great-grandfather had some children, and how do you, what is your lineage back to them?
Well, Harlan's daughter was a Minnie, married my great-great-grandfather, and they moved into the ranch out on the back road to Sutter Creek, that old stone house that's part of it still standing yet.
Right.
And Bonham made lime out there, had a lime kiln and burned lime. I guess there's a lime deposit out there. But, and, well, the big brick church down there, the old Methodist church, the lime that went into making the mortar, put the bricks together, came from his lime kiln out there.
Now, his lime kiln was the first lime kiln in Amador County.
Right? Imagine so. As far as I know, it was the only one for a long, long time.
So a lot of the brick buildings here were constructed from the lime from that. The now, your father's name was?
Alvin.
And?
Newman. His father, my grandfather, had the same name I do, George William.
And then George lived primarily where? Was he a...
My grandfather?
Yeah.
Oh, my grandfather was a character, a bootlegger and a businessman and all sorts of things. And a butcher, and there's a picture of him up there on the left. In World War One, he was probably about 40 years old, and he tried to enlist in the American Army, but they wouldn't take him because he was too old, so he went to Canada and enlisted. He saw some action in Europe in World War One.
And when he came back from the war, then what did he do?
Oh, Same stuff. He was a butcher at a butcher shop, and in Prohibition times, he did a little bootlegging, and well, anyway, he was a...
How many children did he have?
A bunch. Let's see. About six, I think, wasn't it? Five or six. Let's see, there's...
Your dad?
My dad, and Walter, and Marge, Dot, Evelyn, six, Bill.
Okay.
One time, he had the same name I have, and his youngest son, he named George William, too. And I was named after him, so one time there were three of us with the same name running around.
But all called Bill.
Yeah.
But all called Bill.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you said he was in the meat business. He had a butcher shop here in Ione.
Yeah. Well, he and one of his brothers did.
Walter. I don't know about your grandfather. Your dad and Walter.
That's my dad. But this is my grandfather. Well, they were on the ranch. They were raised on the ranch out here, and there was two or three of his brothers had a butcher shop in the corner downtown.
Which corner was that? Just to pick?
Oh, where the little street that turns up, where the train is. A little short street there runs into the creek.
Across from the city hall now. Okay.
Yeah, across from the city hall now.
So that butcher stop, the sons brothers, your brothers were involved in that?
My brothers?
No.
Oh, no. This goes back two generations.
Oh, your uncles were involved in that. And how long, do you know how long, when that butcher shop closed?
Well, that wasn't too long ago, but they didn't have anything to do with it then. It was... probably 1910 or something when they were still operating it. Or
what was
then the Hughes bought it. And then Hughes' son Stanley took it over. And he was the last one to have the butcher shop there. When did he close? In the 50s someplace.
Yeah, maybe...
Do you know why your grandfather came to Ione? Why, how that came about?
Well, he lived.
He came back from the war. Went to, did he go to school someplace and then end up here, or?
No, he was born out there on the ranch, for the Bonham Ranch. That's his father married one of the Bonham girls.
Okay.
And. The two of them kind of took over when the old man Bonham got incapacitated and couldn't operate it anymore. Anyway, they moved in with the old folks.
So when you say the Bonham Ranch, for people listening, the Bonham Ranch, that particular ranch at that time was located where?
Well, that's the one.
That's the one on the back road to Sutter Creek.
Technically, it's Bonham Gebhardt, but... called it either way. Yeah.
Okay, it's on the back road. It's on the Sutter Creek, Ione Road.
Sutter Creek, Ione.
Yeah.
Going towards Sutter Creek on the only thing like that, only ruin on the right side.
On that, okay. And that's where they've got that new development, where they built those four or five houses? The brick, where the old brick buildings are dilapidated on the right-hand side?
You know, we haven't been on that road for a long time. I don't know. I know the property was for sale in block.
All right. So that's the property. As you're driving from Ione to Sutter Creek on the right-hand side, you'll see a couple of old brick buildings.
Just one
that's not all together. Right. Okay. That was the Bonham Ranch.
There's a photograph of it right around the corner of it.
Okay. Well, we'll take a photograph of that and of your grandfather up there on the, you know.
The other soldiers, his dad.
Okay.
At the same time, different war.
Yeah, that oval picture up there is my dad. They were both in the same war.
Only anyway. Dad was in the Marines.
The one further up. So that
the oval single person in
the, that's your father, and then that's your grandfather in the World War I. Who's in the World War II photo?
No, that's me.
That's you.
Okay. Yeah.
And what service is that, and what were you doing?
Oh, Navy. I was a engineering officer on a landing ship.
And you saw service where?
Philippines. Made you. I was in on an initial invasion for the whole Philippine campaign. We all stuffed in on the beach and buttered.
How long were you in the service?
Oh, well... I signed up in sometime in 42, because either that or get drafted. And I was going to school in Cal Poly then. Within about junior year, I guess. And there's a V-7 program the Navy had where you could finish school. graduate, and then they take you in and send you to midshipman school for 4 months. So I did that, so I got to graduate.
So you went from your graduation ceremony directly into the service?
Yeah, I had about 2 weeks off.
Excuse me.
No problem.
About 2 weeks after I graduated, well, they had different classes in this midshipman school, and another class opened. Well, this happened to be about 2 weeks after I graduated from down there.
So where was the midshipman school? Did you?
New York.
Oh, so you went from Cal Poly.
Yeah. Got on a train and went to New York.
You remember anything about the train ride?
Oh, yeah. The trains, they had every old train car that was ever built that was still operating pressed into service during the war because they weren't building any new ones. And some of them were built back in the early 1900s. You know, wooden sides on them, but most of them, and some of them, one time on the way back, we got a modern train, had all the good stuff on it, the bar car, and the...
Now, were you in a sleeper car, or were you just all crammed into a regular car and had to sit up the whole way to New York, or...
I think we sat up, but we didn't sit up, we flopped down on the seats, but they had those old seats that were flopped this way or that way, you know, or
make up
the backs. No, they didn't make up. Oh, God, I forgot. Anyway, I remember the seats went one way, or the backrest went one way, or it went the other, so you could sit on this side or this side, or face either way.
Right.
And you sat there and you slept sitting up.
Do you remember how many in your class at Cal Poly, actually graduating class, went into the service?
Well, by the time I graduated, most of them had already gone in or were drafted or whatever, and they hadn't signed up for something else. And there wasn't very many left by the time. I forgot how many, maybe 30 or something.
So what was your job on the landing craft?
I was the engineering officer. I'd charge of all the machinery.
And what were you carrying primarily, personnel or equipment?
Mostly equipment. And it was a freighter, freight to get the ship to get from the ships on that brought in the cargo ships, and they had the cranes that reached over and dropped the stuff down on the deck. And then we'd take it in, and we had bow doors that opened up, and the ramp that went down, and you ran up on the beach, and the tanks or trucks or jeeps drove off, and then somebody would come in and haul off the gasoline drums or ammunition or boxes of cigarettes or whatever it was, and then we'd go back and get another load. But it was not a... There's a picture of it over here, one of them. Over there. This was, went to one of the reunions. This was a picture of the ship, and these are the bow doors up here. You can, this thing's in the way, but they open up and the ramp goes down.
What was the number of your ship?
18.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out all I could do.
How long did you serve on that?
Oh, about a year on that one in the Philippines, and then I had a month off. That was just after the war. I had a month off, and I had some more time to put in. I went back to Japan on, got another one. I forgot the number of that one. 258 or something.
So, you have how many brothers and sisters?
One brother.
Did he serve also?
Yeah. He was in a merchant marine, I think, on a cargo ship in the European theater someplace. Anyway, he was moving all the time, hauling personnel mostly.
Was that unusual, or was that pretty standard for families who had two sons to have both sons in the service during World War II?
Well, that was, I think, the only time you read about that. You get a couple of people killed from the same family in the same outfit, mostly in the Army. But they... You would not. It's just have them in on the same ship or just in the same company or something like that. It's not.
So when you came back from the service, then what did you do?
Well, I fiddled around. I didn't know what I was going to do. I went down, took a test for merchant marine engineer. And my folks were living here, so I moved back home. Hadn't been there for several number of years. Anyhow, I went down there and took the test. And I remember driving back over the bridge. I looked down there and saw all those ships anchored along the docks. Boy, I'm tired of that. I'm not. That's enough of that. I'm not going to go do that again. So that was the end of my ship days.
The end of your Navy days.
Yeah.
So you went into education then, directly?
No, I started a refrigeration business. I kind of majored in refrigeration, heating, ventilating, and air conditioning. That was when it was first coming out back in the early 40s. Anyway, that was a new thing, so I tried it. So anyway, I started the refrigeration business here and working around and ended up doing commercial and whatever, and ended up doing a lot of domestic stuff too, which didn't like too well. So anyway, somebody talked me into, there was a vacancy over at the high school, or shop teacher, so principal, he talked me into applying for it.
Remember what his name was?
Oh, I don't know. Eileen remembers. I don't remember a lot of things too much anymore. Yeah, they come back, but not right off. Yeah. Anyway, so I didn't have enough credits and the right stuff to get a credential, so I went to Chico State for a year under the GI Bill. That got a little money coming in.
Do you remember how much you got on the GI Bill?
I think it was $90 a month, which was enough to live on then.
Right.
And I just got married. We just got married and went up there for a year and came back and had a different principal, but I got it. But there was a job still open here, so I took it.
Where did you meet your wife?
Oh, her folks lived here. when I came back from the service, I didn't have any place else to go, so I moved back with the folks for a year or so. Oh, in the meantime, before I went back to about a year, or a year and a half, I built this house while I was doing refrigeration work.
So the house we're in, you built in the late 40s?
Yeah.
So you graduated from Chico, got your certificate, and then came back to school and came back to Ione.
Yeah, but this job opened here, and I took it. I looked around in different places around close, but this was handy, and I already had a house built. So
how large was Ione High School at the time?
No, maybe about 65. All four classes. And over the years, I taught over there for about 32 years. And I went from about 65 up maybe 110, 120 the most for 4 years.
Now you say you taught industrial arts. What did that mean? What were you actually teaching?
Well, I taught a lot of this. Well, one of the auto shop and welding, taught some sheet metal, and well, there's wood shop too. Never did like that much, but it did. That's what one of them. And then I also was at, like I said, at this small school. And I taught physics for about 20 years, and the math.
So how many teachers were there when you got there, when there were 65 students?
Oh boy, it was 19. Six, seven, maybe.
What were the times the school started and ended? Do you recall?
Oh, sometimes some years they started at 8:30, and some years they started at 9. Ended up maybe 3:30 or 4.
What were some of the issues or the concerns, things that were a problem at the school, with that size, that as small as it is?
One of the things that was different than the bigger schools is that there weren't too many people in town, and so you knew most of the parents, and some of the parents you went to school with even, and
faculty.
Oh, here's a. Here's a picture of the faculty right there. That's the whole bunch. That's the 1950. That's the first year I taught there.
Well, this shows a picture that I'm looking at. 9 folks.
Yeah.
5 men, 4 women.
Mm-hmm. One of them was the principal.
And and you had very curly hair then.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm sorry. You were saying one of the difficulties was.
Oh, I don't know if it was difficult or not, but you knew everybody.
But you knew everybody.
Really, there was no problems. with the kids there.
Now the school system that at that time was Ione and Jackson and Sutter Creek.
Yeah.
And you had four grades at Ione High School.
Mm-hmm.
The junior high was what grades were in the junior high?
There was no junior high. Or
so is it elementary?
Just elementary and high school.
But there was more than one elementary school.
Nope.
Just one Ione elementary school.
The people were bused in from Lantraplana and
Carbondale.
But they used to do the elementary school in Carbondale, and there's one in Lantraplana, wasn't there? Which one? And then there was one out in the Union. The Union school just out past Preston here, a little
one-room
school.
Those were all one-room schools.
And then there's another one out by the Indian reservation out here. I don't know who has that now, but this house, that the schoolhouse is still sitting there. It's used as a residence. Where else was there one? Oh, and Buena Vista had another one. So there are a lot of one-room schoolhouses around the area because, transportation was not too easy then. I remember when I was going to high school, there was one kid from lived in Buena Vista. He rode a bicycle in every day because there was no bus from Buena Vista in.
Well, you graduated from Ione High School.
No.
And when you went away to college, did you find you were competitive? Do you have any troubles, going to a school as small as you did, and then going off to college? Was that?
No, not really. One of my friends here went to Cal Poly the year before, and going back again, he talked me into it. So I had somebody who knew his way around. I didn't have any problems.
Had you thought of going someplace else?
No, I didn't.
Did you ever think of moving from Ione High School to any other school in the district or even out of the area?
No, I had too much going here. I had some other businesses going on the side. Still had the refrigeration business. And he went there and I bought a laundromat and had that for a number of years. Built a couple houses and kept busy.
Sounds like it. were you ever principal of the school?
No. No, that's not for me.
You weren't involved in any administration. Did you only have one principal?
Mm-hmm.
The whole time that Ione High School was in existence was just...
Oh, well, no, there was...
Assistant principals as well?
There was an assistant, but he had a full teaching job, too. He was not... There weren't that many people in the school.
Tell me how you felt when they were discussing or ended up closing Ione High School.
Well, that's when I quit.
I don't think you'd want to print all his comments at that time. You should quit.
What was it that you didn't like about it?
Well, they have to. There's around 120 students, and they'd all have to be physically moved 10 or 12 miles every day, one way and back again. And besides, we had a just as good or better school here than they had in Jackson and Sutter Creek.
And the new shop.
And the only, about the only thing they got out of hiring a couple principals. They only had one principal instead of three. The other one. Actually, when you have when the kids move from one town, and take them to go to school in another town, their alumni is from the other school. They have no more connection to the town itself.
Loss of connection, loss of. And of course that's an issue today too.
Well, it wasn't only that. School grounds were used for all the games, all those things. That's just like
A lot of the identity of the town existed around.
Oh,
school.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It sure did.
So you were about to retire anyway, I take it.
I was 59 years old, and I had a bunch of stuff going, and anyway, figured I wasn't going to make any what I got from salary from teaching. I could make up from doing other stuff.
Do you remember when that merger took place? If how many of the staff went to the new high school?
Pretty much all of them.
Most everybody. Did you ever get involved in local politics?
Yeah. Not by choice, but I got talked into it. When the city incorporated, and they only incorporated because they were forced to, because our sewer system consisted of individual septic tanks all over town, which overflowed every now and then. And when you came down over the hill, you could pretty much smell it. So anyway, the state sort of forced it on to the. Anyway, it worked out. The supervisors did all of the local political work or anything that needed. The supervisors took care of it if the roads needed fixing or. And they didn't have a sewer system, so they didn't have to fool with that. But anyway, alongside the roads were there were ditches. And when the sewers got too much water in them, and the leach lines wouldn't take care of it, they overran and ran down the ditches alongside the streets.
Right,
and there were pulleys growing in the things.
So,
smell too good.
So Ione had an odor to it.
Oh yes, yeah.
So there was raw sewage or at least water anyway.
Water, yeah, not
going
many.
down the ditches around the streets and down into the creek.
You didn't tell him you were the first mayor.
I got elected first mayor when the city council was elected.
So, did you have a campaign committee?
No, I didn't want to. I got talked into it in the first place.
Did you put up signs?
Nope. No signs. The town wasn't very big then. You didn't need to put up signs. Everybody knew who you were.
So, how many were on the first city council? Is it five?
Five, yeah.
And you were elected mayor? Right off the gate.
Yeah, well, I got the most votes.
There you go.
And then they put in the sewer system.
And so that was your biggest challenge at that time, was to convert from...
Oh, yeah. No more outhouses. Well, there were still a lot of outhouses. But even the outhouses didn't bother because there was no water running off. But everybody had to have an inside toilet. So they had to have a septic tank, or a cesspool, they called it. It was just a hole in the ground. Or if they had a well, back in the old days, there was a lot of the old houses had wells. So there's a hole already there. We just run it into that. So they call it a cesspool. And then later on, they built concrete tanks with baffles in them, and then the drain line going out, right. So just the water would run out. Not too good smelling water, but anyway, that was all.
This was 1950, wasn't it?
Yeah, around there.
So you were elected in 1950?
Someplace, 50-51, I don't remember. Oh, man.
So what did the city have to do, or the city council? Did you have a city administrator, or who ran the city at that point then? Was it the mayor?
I think we all ran it. We had a city clerk who, Earl Grover, and we were running the city council. We had no idea what was going on. We just got picked off the streets. Well, like they do now, they pick them. Somebody with a big mouth, they get picked off. They can out-talk somebody and get elected. But we didn't have that the first time. Nobody really knew what they were getting into. But anyway, Earl knew some of the details. He worked in the office at Preston, and he knew about some of the city rules and how to organize. And he got us started. And then from there it started out. We got a city. The offices down at the city hall were all filled up. And we had a constable who was appointed by the county at the time for the area around here. And, of course, he got put in as chief of police. And that's about all we had.
What was the county's position at the time, or the board of supervisors? What was their involvement, if any, or with my own becoming a city?
They didn't have anything to do with it. It was sort of forced onto us by the state health department because of the sewers overflow running down. And otherwise, it'd probably be still part of the county.
What difficulties were there to get your neighbor to connect to a sewer? How did that go?
They pass an ordinance, and then everybody has to do it, or supposed to.
Were they given a certain time frame to do that?
Yeah, everybody was kind of for it because they didn't like the smell either. So I think there was a Rose Bell was probably the only one in town, an old lady here. She didn't want one of those dirty things in her house, so she put it off. She didn't have any money anyway to put one in. So some people kicked in, but she didn't like it.
Rose Bell.
Mm-hmm. Rose Bell, you know. She was born out in the country here. I don't know if she was... must have been 50 or 60 years old.
Have you been keeping track of the sewer problems that Ione still has?
Have I been? Well, they have normal problems. All cities have, I guess, with the overflow or... You know, they have a few problems, but no more than any place else, I don't think.
You had to build ponds, right, to...
Yeah, that was part of the that was part of the sewer system. Well, as soon as they got incorporated, they'd have some entity to put out bids, and well, that's what we did first thing. That was what we were put in for mainly, was get the sewer system going. So we put out bids, and we got the lowest bid was a new company, never had. Well, they were new too. They had never built a sewer system before, but they just organized. And their bid was way under the next one. But apparently they hadn't looked into what was under the ground. And when they started digging trenches, they had trenches all over town with the new sewer lines going in.
Right.
And people couldn't get into their garages. And then the company was having problems. They probably didn't have qualified people working it, because when they got up on the hill, they didn't drill holes or test holes to find out that there was a lot of rocks up there on top of the hill in Main Street. When they got up there, they ran into rocks, solid rock, and that's when they went broke.
In the middle of the winter.
So, the bonding company had to take it over. And there was maybe a month in between there where everything stopped. I think it was in the middle of the winter.
And you were the mayor.
I was the mayor. And I had to work. And Eileen was home answering the phone. And she didn't like it either. So we had a couple of months there. Anyway, then the next election came around. I got diselected because things were pretty bad there for a while. But they got it done a lot cheaper.
So that was or was not a good experience for you?
Well, I don't know. It was an interesting experience, yeah. It was an experience, yeah. Whether, I don't know, it was good or bad, but to say it was interesting.
I know your wife mentioned earlier that to tell me that you were the first mayor. I mean, that should be a point of pride. I assume it is.
Well, I don't know. When I was teaching at the time, and when I got elected mayor, well, that's what they called me at school, mayor.
Oh, they did. That carried on from that time on?
Oh, some of the old ones still do, yeah.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
The Ione. You know, you mentioned Preston, and for our listeners, you know, that was a prison here in Ione. Was Ione a company town? Was it an ag town? Combination of both?
Combination. There was a number of dairies around, and there aren't any anymore. And they had orchards, and they're all cattle feed now. But there's quite a bit of ag going on. Agriculture, business, farm, ranches, whatever you want to call them. Then there was the grant, which was...
The clay pits and the brickyard.
Oh, yeah, clay.
The clay industry.
The clay was a big, well, it still is. But it was... And then after the population started to boom in the county or all over, I think when I was a kid here, there was around 800 people in town. And it's just in the... And then there was ranches around the outside that sent their kids into school.
So has Ion grown well in as far as you're concerned, in terms of its growth?
Oh, it depends on how you like things. If you like a small place, it's not bad. It's just grows more people. Used to, anytime you walk downtown, you know everybody. You say hello. Now, you know a few, but not as many. And then you've got subdivisions out here. New subdivisions are not new. And they were new. And then people moved in into a whole big subdivision. From someplace else, you have a whole big group of people you've never seen before. Whereas you're used to seeing all the people that you've lived here most of their lives. And it's different.
The school was the center of the social activities, possibly the churches as well. What were some of those social activities that went on at the school that might be different then than would be done now?
Potluck.
Oh yeah.
They had lots of potluck, sleep the lickies.
Yeah.
Potluck dinners for not just the teachers and the kids.
A potluck.
They don't do that anymore.
Potluck dinners, and they would be, you'd have a potluck dinner for what reason?
Whatever they could.
Fun or
maybe we would want a game. No, I just...
Were the games...
sociable.
Were the games, football games, for example, played at night?
No.
They were all during the day.
Some of the schools, like James Jackson had lights.
We didn't even have a gym until after you.
The
gym that didn't even have one.
They had to play basketball. They had an auditorium downtown. Women's Club had an auditorium with played basketball in there. It was big enough,
Run from the high school down there and run back for the next class. But that auditorium burned. And that was the incentive to get started on the gym.
Yeah, the old auditorium was the first city hall to render the space in the front of it for the city council.
And what's located now where that auditorium was?
Parking lot.
Just a parking lot.
On the end of Main Street where it turns to go down to the Methodist Church.
Okay.
What is down there now?
Just the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's a parking lot at the end of Main Street.
So several blocks from the high school.
A couple blocks.
Yeah.
So these potlucks after a football game in the evening or in the late afternoon, everybody went to the football game. That was a basketball game. So.
Yeah.
Now, Main Street, people drive through Main Street now. they think of it as a small town.
It is.
Walking down the streets. But it doesn't have that same small town feel for you.
Oh, after over the years, you kind of get used to things that are different. But I still know a lot of people in town, but a lot of them from, if I go out in the subdivision over here, over where it used to be farmland, Preston farmland, once in a while I see somebody I know, but not very many.
Right.
Well, the golf course, people that live around the golf course are very active, but with golf course activity, they have their own women's club, their own church group, not church, but I see they have a little limit for Bible study, and they have various things up there. It's entirely up there and down here. They don't like to have to say that, but that's the way it is.
They don't have the history of
the
IO.
No, not at all.
If I were to ask if there were any characters that ever lived in Ione while you were growing up or where you were at school, would that, any names come to mind?
Well, you told them. Biggest character we had. Down.
Who?
Rose.
Rose Bell. She was...
Tell me a little bit about Rose.
She was born Rose Mastretti out... You're on a ranch someplace. Carbondale, maybe.
I don't know. That was before.
And then she lived over the little house over close to the high school, a couple houses from the high school. And she still had her outhouse there.
Chicken.
And I remember when I got elected to the city council, she'd come over after school about every day and bend my ear about something or other. Either a complaint or a comment or... Anyway, she'd go on and on. What can you do? She had me cornered. But then she had chickens over there at her place, and she'd bring over a dozen eggs and give it to Julia Mace, who was a home ec tree teacher for cooking class. And she was a nice old lady.
Well, describe Rosebell.
Oh God, she had her hair up in a bun. She was back about 100 years. And I don't know if you remember, but the women used to use high button shoes.
Right.
She wore high button shoes. Come up to here, buttoned all the way up. I never saw her wear anything else. And she wore long dresses. She was not a big person, not fat or anything. She was
very cute teeth. Yeah. And when she talked, she giggled. And she giggled. It's hard to describe Rose. You just said.
Was Bell her married name?
Yes.
Yeah. Mastretti, I think, was...
That's right.
Was her...
Mastretti.
Maiden name.
She either liked you or she did not. That was it.
Did she come to lots of potlucks and activities?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt if she went to a game. That just wasn't.
She was not a sport. Home. She was not a sport fan.
She had a fence. She kept the chickens in.
How did Rose support herself?
I don't know.
I don't know. Her husband had a... I forgot what he did, but he had a pretty good job. And so, I think she owned her own place. And she must, I don't know.
She was the last sewer connection, I said.
Hmm?
She was the last to hook up to the sewer, is that... that's...
Oh, well, somebody had to hook it up for her. She went and put it in her inside bathroom. She didn't want one of those things in her house, but she had to do it anyway. Yeah, she was the last one in town to do it. She didn't do it, no. Somebody else forced her to.
Were there any, the Ion Homecoming goes back many years and just had one here a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any other holidays or activities that were fairly large in Ion community?
In the fall, they always had the Cattleman's Ball in Ion.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a big deal. The Cattleman's Association was the...
They had the auditorium downtown. And they had it in there. All the dances were in there. Yeah, the Cattleman's Ball was a big thing.
Big,
I remember when that...
They'd
dance until 3 in the morning or 2 in the morning, and then they had the cattleman had her dinner down there beforehand.
So how many people do you think would have attended that event?
Oh, I don't know. See, I don't know. 200-300, I guess.
Oh, yeah. It was filled. The cattleman wasn't just the local, they came from all over. Association meeting, and then
when I was a kid,
they all had it here. I don't know.
You went down there and outside the cattlemen or cowboys or whatever they are, not only that, but everybody went. There'd always be a fight or two going on outside, whatever. I remember seeing some of those guys bang each other and blood all over.
That's the
kind of people they were.
Yeah, that's where everything was held, in that big building. It was the women's club, the gardens club, that all that. And then it went to the grand. So that was the end of the Calvin company here and all the little associations. When Elizabeth became queen.
Elizabeth would be who?
England.
Oh, okay.
They came, they had a TV set down there. And from the high school, they came down and watched that on TV to the auditorium and watched.
So
that was the center of activity, was
the auditorium.
Big auditorium.
And that was right at the end of Main Street, where
yeah,
described now as a parking lot.
Big wooden structure just went. Somebody, let's see, had a good hardwood floor. Somebody put in a skating rink on Saturday night. Something like that. And the fire started from heating for the skating rink. And it just went.
So the roller skating rink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So after that burned down, then the school district, the Ion School District, then decided to build the gym.
It was, I don't remember how much later, but that was the real incentive for the gym. The high school was growing a little bit then too, because I think, unless I'm mistaken, the bond went through the first time, which is unusual for a big project like that. Bill, wasn't there just one bond?
Huh?
Wasn't there just one bond election for the gym? Didn't it go through the first time?
I think so.
Yeah.
the Bonhams, which you read about. That was your great grandfather. Was I right there?
Yeah, I think so.
That family has been here for some time as well. Andrea Bonham was recently mayor not too many years back.
Uh-huh.
Were they primarily ranchers?
The old ones were. Then, what the hell did they do?
Clarence worked out the brickyards, and some of the others worked out there.
Yeah, they worked at the.
Or the clay.
Was it the Bonham Brickyards? Was that the name of it?
No,
it was I don't know. There was a couple of them. Clarence and
Lighting McBean had. What was the Gliding McBean establishment? That wasn't the.
They had clay out, clay pits. Yeah, there's a couple of. But Dill Bonham and Wes Bonham, he was a generation back. Clarence, I don't know, he went to. Moved out.
Aldrin works out there too. I think that was where most of them differ.
Yeah, a couple of them.
When you built your home here, how many other? This was a lot. Or was it this size, or was it larger? Did you sell?
No, I bought the lot. This was back in about 1936, I guess. They put this road in here. Goes up to Plymouth.
Right.
And before that, you had to go up Preston Avenue and up there before you get right where you get to the gates to go into Preston, and the road turns to the right, and that goes winds around and eventually comes into this road. But that was the main road. And this wasn't even here. This was cattle ranch, part of it. Dairy, actually. An old lady lived over there in the brick house where Dan lived. Amy, she owned all the property going up there. And when the road went in, it cut across her field, and so she sold the lots. This was in about 36 or 5, someplace in there.
You're centrally located. Did you walk to work every day?
No, I don't walk. sometimes I ride a bicycle, or usually I just drove.
All these years, Eileen, what were you doing?
Well, I stayed home for a long time. And then I went back to school, got my credential, and taught over here in the elementary school for 15 years.
What grades did you teach?
Kindergarten, first, second, and fourth at different times.
Did they have a lot of combined school, combined grades at Ion Elementary?
No.
No.
Mm-hmm.
The classes at the high school, when you only had 9 teachers, or how large when you had a sheet metal class, you said how many students would be in that class?
Oh, I don't know, it was a maybe 10, sometimes more than for a welding class. You only have so many places, welding booths, and so. Well, maybe 4, 8, maybe 10. Or 8 or 10, but that's. And then, like say, an auto shop, first year I have had the kids take, give them an engine that's sitting on a stand, running, and then they take it all apart and put it back together again, and they have to, has to run, to take all the parts apart, everything out of it. And they have them all arranged so they can get them back in the right place again.
But, what was your favorite class to teach? What was your favorite class to teach?
Well, I taught some science, physics. I liked, and the shop class, trying to get the auto shop was sort of like the best. Had some body, a body shop class too, over the years, different ones. I like that too.
Did you teach any math at all, or on it?
Yeah, quite a bit. Mostly on the dummy math.
Remedial.
Remedial and geometry sometimes.
Do you remember, was there any student in the 30 some years that you were there that you remember for any significant reason?
Oh yeah. Some of them not very good members now, different. But.
Anybody became famous after they left Ion High School besides Dan Sinclair?
Yeah, if you listen to Dan Sinclair,
Dan's,
I guess.
Dan's not famous. His brother is. Mike is a heart surgeon. He's done great things. Dan's not.
Yeah,
famous.
Dan talked about his brother when I talked to him. Yeah.
Dan talks about Dan.
Yeah. His brother was in one of my early classes, a couple of them. Yeah, he was one of the good kids.
Was there any? How did the school district? Or was there any impact on the schools because of the prison at all?
No, I don't think so. There might have been a couple people move in, but not that I remember made any difference.
That came later. I mean, the prison went in when we were connected with school. There might have been some families, you know, we had a neighbor who moved in because her husband was incarcerated. So there might have been some. She didn't have children, but I don't know. Might have. They're jammed over there now.
Yeah. Well, even when it was Preston, you know, as before it became a large prison,
uh-huh.
I mean, many of the people who worked there lived in
sure.
I.O., right?
Yeah, well, all of them did, practically.
Yeah, but they all came down.
That's just like back when they had a meat market here and the bakery.
Yeah.
That was before the roads were good enough, or the cars were, trucks were good enough to haul it up from Stockton or wherever they bake the bread, and then when the transportation got better, it's a lot cheaper to bake a whole bunch of stuff than to, just enough for one community. So that's when the little stores dropped out, and the meat market quit. They put the meat market in with the grocery stores, bigger ones. They had about four different grocery stores in town when I was growing up.
How many bars?
Three, I guess. You know, there was the old corner, which is a gun shop now, and then there was Vim's, and then across the street was a hotel. A hotel's still there, too. And
two barber's shops.
Yeah.
Was your family ever involved with the hotel in Iowa?
Hmm?
Was your family ever involved with the hotel in Iowa?
Oh, no, the Tonsi built it, but one of my great aunts married a Tonsi, so it's a short tail. Goes back.
How about the relationship between the people in Ione and the people, say, in Sutter Creek or Jackson? Was there a lot of
Oh, yeah, they sort of looked down their nose at Ione.
Part of it was this, was being your place the way it smelled. It stunk to high heaven. From the railroad tracks out of town, I don't know how far that is, from there on in, that's where you smell it. It was just awful. There were tulies growing in the ditches right in town. In fact, he bought another lot across Preston Avenue, second block down. And I think the lot was pretty cheap because the sewer ran right in front of it. And the tulies were way up high, and he put on boots up to here and got down in that stuff and chopped the tulies out. And the guy who already had a house there did the same thing, and they put in a pipe at least to move the stuff away, and now it's a block, ordinary block.
Well, there's nothing running down the roads anymore.
No, but they had put in a
but it was
pipe, and boy, he worked in that stuff. It was no wonder they listed down on Iowa, really, because in the first place it's down anyway, you know, physically. But Sutter Creek's a beautiful town, always has been, and they let you know it. And
how about Jackson?
I don't know. Bill's dad was born in Jackson, and he knew a lot of people there and all. I don't think Jackson, well, the island didn't assimilate very well with Jackson when they had to move. But they did eventually, I guess they must have.
Well, Jackson was more of a business-oriented community,
right.
So people had people from my own had to go there for certain things,
yeah,
right?
And right.
Shopping was,
yeah.
Was
right. And we did. My gosh, we just. But again, the new people, like the golf course people, they don't trade here. And I doubt very much if they trade in Jackson unless maybe Safeway or Lowe's, but they don't trade. They go someplace else. I asked one lady one time how she happened to move up here from the Bay Area. Well, the price was right, but she said, right off, she said the town itself has no charm, but the location to San Francisco, Tahoe, they're right in the middle of all that, and that's why they moved here. I asked her, and I got an answer, but a lot of people moved here from the Bay Area because the price was so cheap compared to what they had.
Would you agree that Ione has no charm?
I didn't used to think it did, but it grew on me after all, after a while.
Well,
but that was her impression, you know, just moving in recently. It took me a while before I could see it.
Of the three towns, I own Jackson and Sutter Creek. The one that's the most charming would probably be...
Oh, I think Sutter Creek. Yeah. Well, I moved here in 1941. And my own was not my dad's first choice, but we had, let's see, my grandfather living with us besides our family, and he was mining. And we usually had somebody else living with us, and he couldn't find a house big enough and all that. That's why we happened to move here. He would rather have gone to Southern Creek.
Where was he mining?
On the Rupley property out of Plymouth. My uncle had, it was actually my uncle's business. My dad was working with him. So it was on a contract basis for a certain length of time, but in the meantime, the war started and they just shut down all the gold mining.
So your uncle's name was?
John Pantle.
How do you spell that?
P-A-N-T-L-E.
D-L-E?
P-L-E. P-A-N-T-L-E.
T-L-E. Pantle.
Yeah. He lived in Sutter Creek. He found a place there.
Well, that was deep rock mining. They were
no placer mining.
Placer mining.
Yeah. Sutter Creek was always a lovely town. You can't say it wasn't that way here, but
well, but even with all the mines, do you recall when you were growing up with all the mining going on in Sutter Creek and Amador and Jackson?
No. Well, I knew the mines were going on, but that was up there, and we knew they were there, but we weren't all that.
When you went to Jackson, I just tried to get a description. When you went to Jackson, the mines were working, and all the stamp mills were going.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. The noise wasn't something that that was bothersome.
No, you never went up there that often to make that much any difference.
Okay.
Once in a while, we'd go up there, do the show or something like that, but the movies.
The movies. There was no movie theater in Iowa.
Yeah, there was, yeah, but
a movie theater.
But then. It was open off and on. It was closed for a while, and when I was teaching, they had them running for a while again, but it was...
So you go to the Ratto Theater in Jackson, is that...
Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't think the one in Sutter Creek was open, was it?
No, it wasn't. No, that was... The theater, right on Main Street.
Right. For those listening, that's an empty lot at the moment.
I know.
Well, I've certainly enjoyed our conversation. Is there anything that you thought I was going to ask you that you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask?
I really didn't know how you were going to operate here. What was going to happen?
Hope it was enjoyable for you.
You notice his cap?
He's wearing a cap that says, Bonham Brothers have cat
yeah,
little trial.
Yeah.
Caterpillar tractor on it.
That's Andy's father has a business. Andrea's father. Andy.
Yeah, well, this is Andy and his brother. They have a, well, his brother's moved away, but Andy still has drag lines and cats and out here operating at the Quake Fish.
I'll stop, Dave.